Just a quick reminder that this podcast will contain detailed plot spoilers and heavy-duty language. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the first annual Hunnic Outcast Valentine's Day special. Hunnic Outcast here, never question ever. And nor do I question the loyalty to my listeners. And boy, when I advertised this Valentine's Day special, I did not expect to get all these likes and responses from people who were... What's the word I'm looking for Harley? Well, here's the thing. She's gotten a makeover. We will be discussing tonight the DC New 52 Harley Quinn Valentine's Day special that came out a couple days ago. We'll also be discussing my thoughts and opinions on the graphic novel as well as the famous Season 4 episode of the Batman animated series episode Mad Love, as well as the Batman Season 4 episode Two of a Kind. So, sit back, get your favorite Harley Quinn hand grenade, and we'll be back to discuss the first issue, which actually is going to be a surprise bonus issue, because there was a DC New 52 Harley Quinn issue number 3, which wasn't a Valentine's Day special, but it did deal with Valentine's Day. So, I'm going to be discussing that issue first, but add a little bit of the clown princess of crime that just wants to chime in. So, we'll be back right after this.
It's bad enough the network said I wasn't a real psychologist. It said I was a joke.
I happen to like jokes. Besides, there are worse names. I know I've been called them.
Guess we have a few things in common, huh?
You know what two sad sacks like us need? A night on the town!
I don't know. That seems awfully unprofessional.
Consider it research for your book.
But what if...
You're seen associating with a certified criminal whack job? A costume! That way no one will know it's you! Harleen Quinzel becomes Harley Quinn!
First discussion of the night, DC New 52, Harley Quinn, issue number 3. Harley is residing at Coney Island. I've already discussed her transition in the Harley Quinn comics for New 52, so I'm not going to reiterate what, you know, her whole story. But the name of the comic is called Love Stinks, and Harley is at a... carnival. Well, I know it's at Coney Island, but she's at another, you know, carnival down the boardwalk where she's shooting at zombies and octopuses, and it turns out that it's part of this roller coaster game that she's just on this this indoor horror roller coaster type thing, and she's using a shotgun to shoot at the animatronics, and she's depressed because, you know, Harley and Mr. J are not around, and I'm not too sure if this follows anything else for the New 52 continuity. I know there's a Harley Quinn annual, and I was considering discussing. I've reviewed the Harley Quinn annual over at GeekCastRadio.com, but a written review anyway. But I don't know if I need to review that issue tonight. I was tempted, but there's really nothing much to talk about the annual. All it really deals with is Harley decides to mail herself to Hawaii, and she ends up on a desert island, and there's Joker, but I don't know if it's supposed to be the Scott Snyder New 52 Joker, or it's really hard to tell. And they're both on a tropical island, and they're mistaken for gods, and they're about to be sacrificed, and Joker, being Joker, is going to sacrifice Harley and leave her to die, and Harley is gonna turn the tables on Joker. It was a good issue, and, you know, as I said, I've already wrote a written review, so I figured it'd just be better to stick with the Valentine's Day, you know, issues for right now. But for Love Stinks, it pretty much deals with Harley. She's depressed and lonely, so she decides that she's gonna dress up and go out on a night on town. And in issue number 2, Harley is, Harley had met up with Poison Ivy, and Poison Ivy had left a plant with some berries, and Harley decided to ingest the berries, and apparently, the berries leave a scent, and it's, I guess it's supposed to be Poison Ivy's, you know, pheromones. When she, you know, shoots them at men, they do her bidding, and same thing with Harley. So Harley is just walking around town, and there's a New York State Department of Corrections, and an officer starts to smell Harley's breath, and he becomes entranced by Harley. The bus crashes and lets out all these inmates, and they also start to smell Harley's breath, and, you know, Harley realizes that the berries she ingested was a love potion, and these inmates are falling in love with Harley, and they're chasing after her, you know, going, mine, and Harley's running for her life. It's very Benny Hill-esque. And she runs into, like, an Office Depot type of store. And she has to find something to fend off with. So she finds a weed whacker. And the way that she's, you know, posed and standing is kind of like Ash from Army of Darkness. And she fights off and she, you know, kills all these inmates with a weed whacker. And as she's leaving the store, there's a female officer that's, you know, also getting entranced by Harley's love potion, and the officer starts to hit on Harley, and I love, you know, the female officer kisses Harley, and I love Harley's reaction, like, her lips are in her mouth, and, you know, she's puckered, it's like, I'm not into women, and then she whispers, I think, like, she's not too sure if she is bisexual or not. So pretty much, she realizes that the berries are the love potion. She's run away from these inmates who are trying to, I guess, rape her or whatever, and this female officer that's, you know, trying to seduce her. So when Harley goes back to the apartment, she finds the plant with the berries, and she throws them into a New York City aquarium. And she's kind of okay that she doesn't have a boyfriend this Valentine's Day, but in issue number 2, she rescued some animals from an animal shelter, and she figured, you know, that's better than nothing. That's unconditional love. I've already reviewed this this issue. As I said, I did a written review over at GeekCastRadio.com in the comics review section. I gave it a 5 out of 5. It's an interesting issue. Love Stinks. It's pretty cut and dry. I don't know if it really feels like it should be a full issue, or it should be the last 8 to 10 pages of a comic book story at the end of a Batman New 52 comic. But I will say this much. I love the design of Harley in New 52. She's not wearing her, you know, Harley Quinn getup from the Batman animated series. Here she's kind of wearing, like, these red and blue hot pants and these thigh-high boots. One's blue, one's red, and this, you know, this bikini top, and she wears her hair differently. Sometimes she'll wear, like, a pigtails, one blue, one red. She does change outfits a lot. Towards the end, she puts on a, like, this one-piece short skirt with these stockings and boots. So, Harley does have different outfits in this universe. The designs of the convicts and the police officers, I mean, they're pretty much, as I said, it's Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor who have done the writing and the artwork. I'm impressed with the cover. I love Harley's in a negligee, and she's dressed like an angel, and she's lying upon a heart, and she's hoping to fall in love, and there's a chainsaw going through the heart. There's piles of bodies, and they're like her heart-shaped hand grenades on the cover. It's a great cover, and the art, of course, is by Chad Harden, and you know, cover is by Amanda Connor. I love the panels, and I love the story, so this one definitely is a 5 out of 5 for the Harley Quinn issue number 3, Love Stinks. As I said, I would recommend anybody to subscribe to the Harley Quinn series. It's, if Dot from Animaniacs was human, this would pretty much be Harley Quinn. So, gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll be discussing the first Harley Quinn Valentine special. Harley Quinn and Batman married? What? Nah, it's just dream sequence, but, you know, bad fan can dream, can he?
Outfit. So out of style, it's growing mold. I probably look like a total geek. Come on, babies, we're going shopping.
So now we have the Harley Quinn Valentine's Day special. And what a special it is. Written, of course, by Amanda Connor, Jimmy Palmiotti. Cover by Amanda Connor and Alex Sinclair. Pencils by John Timms. Summary. Because I downloaded the digital version. Harley Quinn, issue number 1, Valentine's Day special. Love is in the air in New York City. The planet's richest bachelor, Bruce Wayne, is in town for a charity auction, and the highest bidder gets a date with Mr. Tall, Dark, and Brooding. Good thing Harley Quinn just came into some money. Please, whatever you do, don't ask how. But don't worry, I'll tell you. But can Bruce really spend the night with Harley without her learning how he spends his nights? And it's spelled N-I-G-T-S and not K-N-I-G-H-T-S. But K-N-I-G-H-T-S, which, you know, would have been interesting. World's greatest detective, huh? So the cover, as I said, of Connor, it's Batman hung upside down, and he's chained up and tied up, and Harley is kissing him, and, you know, there are all these hearts, and there's a screwball in the background, and some peanuts in the background. It almost reminds me of Mad Love when Harley had Batman, you know, hung upside down over the piranha tank. So, even though it's called the Harley Quinn Valentine Special, the title is called Just Batty Over You. And Tony Silewis does art for pages 15 and 17, which I love. And John Timms also does the art and Hi-Fi Color Batman Dream Sequence pages 15 and 17. There's a lot of credits where credits are due. But what can I say about this one that's different than issue 13? It does deal with Harley. She's at the Staten Island Ferry at the edge, you know, going, I'm the queen of the world. And I love how one of the spectators goes, how original. The captain, of course, tells Harley that, you know, please don't stand all the way at the edge, or, you know, if you're trying to kill yourself, whatever, do it somewhere else. And Harley, just being adventurous, you know, she's making a promise that she won't stand over the edge of the Staten Island Ferry. Then we kind of get a subplot of these characters, which I thought was Aquaman, because Aquaman kind of made an appearance in the Harley Quinn annual, so I thought this was Aquaman, but it's a guy in a kayak that's looking over the Hudson, and he's just upset that all these fish are dying because of the pollution. And it kind of looked like Aquaman, but it's not. Batman is back in the Batcave after his nightly rounds. I think it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. And Alfred has prepared his dinner, and we see in the Batcave the famous Tyrannosaurus Rex and the giant Two-Faced Penny. And Alfred, of course, has made a dinner. Alfred has made a dinner of pan-grilled chicken breast, shaved Brussels sprout. Alfred has made a dinner of pan-grilled chicken breast, shaved Brussels sprouts, and a green tea, blueberry, and banana smoothie, and a glass of warm water. And I love how Alfred and Batman are playing off each other. Like, Batman is like, oh, are you telling me that I'm putting on weight, Alfred? And Alfred's like, no, just that, you know, you're fighting crime late at night into the wee hours of the morning, so this is what's going to help you, you know, keep your body in shape. So, of course, Alfred acts like the father figure, and Harley's back at her apartment in Coney Island, and there's news reports that in New York City, Bruce Wayne will be making a appearance for a fundraiser to help animal shelters. And Harley, of course, wants to win that auction, and there's this alien egg with robotic tentacles. Now, I have to be honest. I have been writing reviews on the Harley Quinn comics for the GCRN. There are two or three issues that I had missed because I got caught up with some personal things. So there's a few issues that I've not done written reviews for. I apologize to the fans. I did read them, skim through them, but there's about three of them that I missed. I do know that it was during, after Harley had met Power Girl and they had been transported to another planet. I think this is the alien that Power Girl and Harley met, and I think they brought this character back with them. I have to go back and read that comic. So it's just like this egg character, as I said, robotic tentacles that she's calling Eggy, and I'll go back and read it someday, so I want to apologize. But Harley wants to raise money to win this charity auction and go on a date with Bruce Wayne. So of course she has her on-again, off-again partner crime, Big Tony, and they're it's a very wordy conversation of where they're going to try to raise the money, and Harley can do it legally and not get caught. So, as luck and coincidence have it, Harley Quinn kind of acts like Harley Hood, in a way. Like, she'll be the Robin Hood for this story. She'll rob from the rich and give to the poor, which is her. But the rich that she'll steal from are Wall Street inside traders that are stealing money from honest people and keeping it for themselves. So she's looking for the inside traders, money launderers, you know, that sort of thing. So they find one, and they're thinking about how they're going to do a home invasion on one of these famous inside traders, and I'll get to him. But Harley is exhausted, and she goes into a famous dream sequence. Now, if you've read Harley Quinn comics, as I discussed in my written review a few issues ago, when she met Cy Borgman, Harley had this really bizarre Matryoshka doll dream sequence. This one, I believe, is from artist Timms. Let me just make sure. I think it's John. Let me just make sure again. Timms. God, I just had it. Yeah, John Timms. I'm sorry. I think this one is by John Timms. And this is the one that's kind of like a Tex Avery Looney Tunes type of dream sequence. Harley's riding on a unicorn with the Harley Quinn symbol, and the unicorn kind of looks like the the overweight horse from, you know, what's Opera Doc, even though I think that's Chuck Jones and not Tex Avery. But there's some, it's a mixture, it feels like, of Chuck Jones and Tex Avery animation. In this dream sequence, Harley is married to Bruce Wayne. And this also feels a little bit like Bashki animation from Mighty Mouse and New Adventures. Harley is playing polo, and Bruce is buff, and I guess he looks like a combination of, you know, a young Kirk Douglas with that square chin and that buff body. And Harley and Bruce are married in this dream sequence, and she's playing polo, and then in the next panel, she's in lingerie, and they're in bed together, and then they're on a yacht, and they're fishing. And Bruce is fishing, and he is able to catch a chest, and Bruce wants to sleep with Harley, and he grabs her, and she's now in a bikini, and he wants to make love to her, and then all of a sudden Harley goes, you know, downstairs at the yacht and grabs a shotgun and shoots Bruce Wayne dead. But apparently the bullet has turned into a fish and sticking out of Bruce's abdomen, even though Bruce is in the water swimming, and Bruce is just talking, and, you know, it kind of feels like that, if you're familiar with Monty Python, there's this travel agent sketch where Michael Palin and Eric Idle are talking about going on vacation, and Eric Idle just keeps talking, he doesn't take a breath, he keeps just talking and talking and talking, and Michael Palin's trying to tell him to shut up. That's how it feels in this dream sequence, where Bruce, just after he's been shot, he keeps talking in the water. These sharks come up and they eat him, and Bruce turns into a skeleton. Bruce continues to talk. Alfred serves Harley a fish, and the fish starts talking like Bruce, and apparently I think Harley eats it, and she goes to the bathroom, because then we see her standing over a toilet, and she flushes it, and the fish continues to talk. It's a very bizarre dream sequence. Harley wakes up, and we're back in the regular, you know, Amanda Connor, Jimmy Palmiotti animation, and then we kind of go back into this dream sequence where Harley is going to get married. Ivy is the maid of honor. But then Harley takes over Wayne Enterprises, and there's a Viking and a ninja and Al Capone. It's very bizarre. And then we just go back to the main story. Harley and Big Tony go, like I said, downtown Brooklyn, and they perform a home invasion on an inside trader known as Barney Runoff. And Harley knocks on the door, asks if this guy is Barney Runoff. Guy asks who's asking. Harley has a bat and goes Batgirl and smashes his jaw with her baseball bat. There's a whole big conversation of them trying to find the money. They eventually find close to a few million dollars underneath Barney's bed. And they figure that if they steal the money, it can't be reported as stolen, and not to mention the fact Barney happens to be an inside trader. So Harley does perform a home invasion. She destroys some of Barney's valuables, and she also tells Barney that Big Tony has told Harley that Barney has stolen billions of money from poor, hardworking people, and Harley has said that he wants to give all the money back, because if it doesn't, Big Tony and Harley will come back and kill Barney Runoff. So that's pretty much it. Then we go back to these eco-terrorists who are at the New York Aquarium, and they're wearing these really bizarre, I guess, fishman outfits, and they're giving monologues about how they're going to kidnap Bruce Wayne so they can fund money to protect the oceans. And I guess they befriended the famous beluga whale that's in, you know, the tank at, you know, New York Aquarium. So then Harley, the money that she's stolen from Barney Russoff, she goes to the Metropolitan Animal Shelter Charity Event. And she's wearing this awesome evening gown that's blue, red, and, you know, has the symbols of Harley Quinn. Her hair is up in a bun, and she's beautiful. And Of course, we have Bruce Wayne. He's auctioned himself off for the Wayne Foundation Animal Shelter. And, of course, we have all these women that are trying to start bids, 2,000s, 5,000s, and Harley's trying her best to make a bid, and there's this really sharp woman that's the only one who's going one-on-one with trying to outbid Harley. And then, finally, Harley goes... Like, she starts to get really aggressive with this woman. She's like, 300,000, the woman's going 200,000, and they're shouting at each other. And then finally, kind of goes like all Austin Powers, like $1 million. And then she comes up with another idea, and she grabs this woman that she's been having a bidding war with, and she goes up behind the woman, and she starts to put her in a headlock, and she goes, $1,100,000. And apparently she snaps and breaks the woman's neck, and we see that this woman is dead, and she's like a bloody, you know, covered in blood on the floor, her butt sticking up in the air, and Harley has won the auction to date Bruce Wayne. And Bruce, of course, you know, his alter ego is Batman, or vice versa, however you want to put it. I love the thought balloons, because it's not so much a thought balloon, it's bats that are floating over Bruce's and Harley's head, and Bruce's thoughts are Harley Quinn, what does she want with millionaire Bruce Wayne, what is she up to? And we don't really know if Harley, what Harley's intentions are in this universe with Bruce. I will say this much, it's a lot more entertaining than that bidding war with Bruce and, you know, Robin and Batman and Robin over Poison Ivy, and, you know, Bruce Wayne showing out the Bat credit card. No, I will not be playing that clip, folks. I am done with that fucking movie until I have to discuss it again in Season 4 of Hunter Cowcast. I love the 90s. But the bidding war between Harley and this woman, I was almost hoping it was Veronica Freeland from the Batman the Animated Series, because I know a lot of people detest that character. But I just love the facial expressions that Harley has with this woman. And, you know, there's a great close-up of this woman trying to outbid Harley. She's, like, really broad and sharp and, you know, witch-like. So, yeah. Gonna take a quick break, and we'll get into Acts 2 and 3 of the Holiday Special comic right after this.
Pixels in the Animation is the Geekcast Radio Network's video game cartoon review show. We are covering every episode of 9 different video game cartoons. Join TV's Mr. Neil and myself, TFG and Mike, as we trek through multiple Mario tunes, Zelda, Captain N, Mega Man, Sonic, and we are also driving through Donkey Kong Country. Pixels in the Animation is 100 episodes of video game cartoon goodness, so tune in to help us find the Pixels in the Animation, which you can find every Wednesday on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com.
Ah, brave new world that has such putzes in it. You know, kids, a lot has changed while your old Uncle Joker's been away. New Gotham, new rules, even a new Batman.
It isn't 65 years in the future, but Legends of the Dark Knight has gone beyond. Batman Beyond, that is.
Ah, the new boy. Ears are too long and I miss the cape, but not too shabby. Not too shabby at all.
Join Steve and Mike as they delve into the remaining episodes of the podcast, where they'll cover Batman Beyond, products, games, and more. Check it out only on GeekCastRadio.com.
Okay, and we are back. So Harley wins the auction, and I guess we're going to find out what their dream date is going to be, but the eco-terrorists, of course, come in, and they shoot Harley with this net that, it's an electrified net, and, of course, they incapacitate both Harley and Bruce, although they leave Harley at the auction, they kidnap Bruce, and as Harley starts to slip... As Harley starts to lose consciousness and drift into slumber, into another dream sequence, and this one, for these pages, I believe Give me one quick second here, and I'll have to go all the way back again. I should have taken better notes on this one. I apologize, they are good people. Thank you for your patience and time, but I think that this was John Hill. Yes. Okay, Ben Caldwell and Aaron Campbell for the dream sequences. John Timms did the art, but the... Okay, John, I want to apologize real quick. I'm not going to go back and edit that quick mistake, but I just want to... Really, really quick, folks. John Timms did the art, but for the dream sequences, for the art and color, for the Harley dream sequence, for the first one, I believe, was Ben Caldwell, and for the second one, for the Batman dream sequence, was Aaron Campbell. And Tony Zelos did the art for pages 15 and 17, and for the Hi-Fi Color Batman dream sequences 15 and 17... Okay, Paul Mounts. Makes sense. Okay, I apologize for that, folks. Anyway, so we get into the second dream sequence, which is a little bit more broader, and Harley and Bruce Wayne are, in fact, married. Well, they are in bed together. Harley has a cleaver and asks... It kind of feels very EC Tales in the Crypt with these, with this artwork. And Harley, of course, is asking Bruce all the names that, you know, that we know that Bruce has been with. Julie, Selina, Vicky. Well, we know Selina Kyle. And we know Vicky is Vicky Vale. And she, you know, mentions many other names. And Bruce asks, where did Harley come up with these names? And, you know, Harley goes that, you know, you talk in your sleep, and I take dictation in my sleep. So Bruce talks his way out of it and claims that if they have a baby girl, he was thinking of baby girl names, and he kind of talks his way out of that one. And apparently they've been married for a week, and apparently she knows that Bruce is Batman, and he gave her a Batman diamond wedding ring or engagement ring, and... Batman and Harley are married, and they have the Batpoles, and instead of Batman and Robin for the Batpoles, Harley's name is over Robin's. So, I love this outfit. Now, I did the written review already for Geekcast Radio Network for the Valentine's Day special. I did not go into full detail with this dream sequence, but I love this outfit in the dream sequence. It's Harley dressed up in a Robin outfit, and it is magnificent. She has green stockings on, with, like, this gold trim lace and the yellow cape, and her hair is in pigtails. One is red, one is yellow. She has a red top, she has green gloves, and she kind of has, like, this green skirt. And of course, the Robin mask. This is probably one of the greatest... This should be cosplayed. Robin Harley? I'm trying to think. I guess it would just be Harley Quinn as Robin, you know. But anyway, it's amazing. And they go through a dream sequence that they're, you know, Batman and Robin, and she's in love with him, but he is... You know, he tries to give her bat gas, but it turns out to be fireworks spray instead of bat gas to knock her out, and she's just in the Batmobile with Batman, as he's, you know, it's kind of like a 1966 homage, and fireworks are going over, and she's just in love with Batman. Meanwhile, as the dream sequence is over, because it turns out it's not Harley's dream sequence at all, it's actually, as I've said, it's Batman's, or Bruce's. It's Bruce's dream. And anyway, Bruce is at the New York Aquarium with these eco-terrorists, where they have captured Bruce because they want money to, you know, save the oceans, and Bruce actually is for them. He says, if you untie me and you cooperate, I promise you I will be lenient on the charges and I will give you money for your cause, because, you know, your cause seems noble. But meanwhile, Harley Quinn is with Poison Ivy and Big Tony and that egg alien thing, and they're trying to find out who took Bruce Wayne. And after a few panels, you know, Ivy helps Harley, and Harley goes on her own to the New York Aquarium for a rescue mission, and she's, you know, these panels are silent, And she's traveling around the New York Aquarium, and she goes past the sea lion tank, and she goes to the beluga whale tank, and she presses up against the beluga whale, and she goes, squee! And the whale, you know, responds with squee, and then we see a panel where the beluga whale has this facial expression like, where'd you go, what's going on? Harley has jumped into the tank, and she's hugging the beluga whale, and has this giant smile on its face. Meanwhile, as I said, Bruce Wayne was trying to cooperate with the kidnappers, as he was, you know, going to help them, and they couldn't believe it. But then Harley has dropped gas, and she has a giant mallet, and she starts beating the crap out of these ego terrorists, and she rescues Bruce. And Bruce and Harley end up going on their date, and they have a kiss goodnight, and that, as I say, is that. An hour later, Harley is talking to Big Tony, and Harley is telling Tony about how she got to go on her date with Bruce Wayne, and I guess Big Tony's a little, you know, jealous, and then all of a sudden Batman comes out of nowhere. And, you know, Batman has this conversation with Harley. He's like, you know, I heard you've been busy lately. And Harley's like, are you here to arrest me? And, you know, I didn't do it. Are you here for a fight? And Batman, of course, says, no, I just wanted to say thank you for rescuing a good friend of mine, you know, Bruce Wayne. And, you know, Harley is being Harley as always. You know, she's kind of like, whatever. I did it because I just had a crush for Bruce Wayne. Like, she won't admit that she did a good thing. As, you know, typical Harley Batman banter. And it ends with Harley and Batman kissing, and Harley says that she doesn't feel the kiss from Batman the way that she did from Bruce Wayne. And Batman leaves Harley on the roof of her apartment and flies away, and that's pretty much the end of the Valentine's Day special. So what did I think of this one? Well, I have to say 5 out of 5. This is a solid. I mean, there's only one Harley Quinn New 52 issue I didn't like, and that was that Fight Club parody. You know, Skate Club. I thought that was just, like, sloppy. But every other Harley Quinn issue, I think, is magnificent. I love the artwork. I love the dream sequences that she has. It almost feels like, you know, pink elephants on parade. I love the images. I love the dialogue. And I especially love the last few panels between the banter between Batman and Harley Quinn. And Harley, as I said, she's definitely transitioned a lot since, you know, Batman the Animated Series. I love her whole makeover from New 52. I definitely implore anybody that please pick up a Harley Quinn comic. You will not be disappointed. I was never a fan of this person. I am a huge fan of her now. Not just because she has different outfits to wear, but she has an edge. She's a lot tougher. She can handle herself at Mr. J. I mean, you know, there are times in the beginning that she pined for Joker, but. And also, although they were out of print, or at least they've been canceled, that's a better word to say, they've been canceled. You can download the issues off of Comixology. Gotham City Sirens, where Harley had teamed up with Catwoman and Poison Ivy, they were good reads as well. Anything New 52 Harley Quinn you can get your hands on. I think 23.5. That's the one I have. No buyer's remorse with, you know, Gotham City Sirens or New 52 Harley Quinn. Except for that one issue for the Skate Club. But even then, it's not such a bad. It's a guilty pleasure. It's just. And if everything that Jimmy P. and Amanda C. have been working on. And they've worked on a few Harley Quinn specials. There was a San Diego Comic-Con special. There was this Valentine's Day special. There was a Christmas special. An annual here or there. I love this Valentine's Day special. It is solid. Especially love the Ben Caldwell dream sequence. Just buy the book, man. Just buy it. But I'm going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I have a special, well, part review, part discussion on the most talked about, at least episodes, and one graphic novel I used to own, but I got rid of it because I heard there's going to be a deluxe issue sometime in March. Going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'll be discussing Mad Love, and then from the Batman back in 2005, the famous episode that Paul Dini wrote called Two of a Kind. And I'll be back with that right after this.
Remote Control is the new TV podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network. We'll be covering TV shows and topics from the year 2000 to whenever now is. We'll have special themed episodes entitled Pilot and Season Premieres, as well as finishing finales. We'll also have Season Pass episodes, where we take a look at an entire season of a TV show. Remote Control can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and www.geekcastradio.com. So tune in, because we are all remote controlled.
Care to tell me how this got in my office?
I put it there.
I think the guards would be interested to know you've been out of your cell.
If you really were going to tell, you already would have. You know, sweets, I like what I've heard about you. Especially the name, Harley Quinzel. Rework it a bit, and you get Harley Quinn.
Like the clown character Harlequin. I know, I've heard it before.
It's a name that puts a smile on my face. It makes me feel there's someone here I can relate to. Someone who might like to hear my secrets.
It took me nearly 3 months to set up a session. I studied all his tricks and gimmicks and felt I was ready for anything.
You know, my father used to beat me up pretty badly.
Anything except that.
Every time I got out of line, bam! Or sometimes I'd be just sitting there doing nothing. Pops tended to favor the grape, you see.
Uh-huh.
There was only one time I ever saw Dad really happy. He took me to the circus when I was 7. Oh, I still remember the clowns running around, dropping their pants. My old man laughed so hard, I thought he'd bust a gut. So the very next night, I ran out to meet him with his best Sunday pants around my ankles. Hi, Dad, look at me. Zoop! I took a big pratfall and tore the crotch clean out of his pants. And then he broke my nose. But hey, that's the downside of comedy. You're always taking shots from folks who just don't get the joke. Like my dad. Or Batman.
So now we've got Mad Love. It started off as a graphic novel back in 94. I do remember coming across it at the bookstore. I just thought that it was a bunch of reprints of the Batman animated series comic books. I had no idea that it was a separate, you know, the internet was in diaper stages back then, and there wasn't too much word of mouth in 1994. Of course, you know, Paul Dini, writer, this, of course, won a Eisner Award for Best Single Story in 1994. It was an episode in season 4 of Batman, the animated series, and rightfully so. It was released back in February of 94, and Paul Dini and Bruce Timm were writers, and Bruce Timm and Glenn, or Tammy, was a penciler, and Bruce Timm was the inker. There is supposedly this 96-page hardcover deluxe edition that's coming out March 2015, so I have had the story. I did sell it back years ago. I did take it out of the library. Is there any difference between the graphic novel and the animated? The only thing I remember, and I'll get into the plot real quick for those who are unfamiliar. Joker and Harley Quinn are in a dentist office. It does deal with Commissioner Gordon having to go for an annual dental checkup. It turns out it's the Joker. Disguised as a dentist, he's going to kill Gordon. Batman comes in, and Joker is trying to find new ways to kill Batman. And Joker is in a warehouse, and he's trying to come up with ideas, and one of them is called The Death of a Thousand Smiles, where Joker wants to hang Batman upside down and drop him into a tank of hungry piranhas. Harley Quinn, of course, wants to, you know, make love to the Joker, and Joker's not interested. And Harley feels that Batman is always going to be in the way of the relationship. So we get a flashback how Harley Quinn was Dr. Harleen Quinzel, a psychiatrist at Arkham. And she admits that she wanted to be a psychiatrist at Arkham because of extreme personalities, and she wanted to write a book, you know, about her experiences. Joker, of course, overhears Harley, and he sends her a flower, and Harley, of course, is about to, you know, blow the whistle, and Joker says, if you were going to blow the whistle on me, you were going to do it already. And somehow Harley is able to pull strings, or I don't know how it works, because she's still a rookie, but she's able to have private one-on-one sessions with Joker. I think it takes about, you know, 6 months or something to that effect. And Joker tells Harley that his father was an alcoholic who beat him, and Harley's starting to believe that Joker truly is, you know, Gotham's savior, and Batman is the thorn in Joker's side. And the only thing I really remember in the graphic novel was there was a dream sequence where Harley thought that she was going to be married to Joker, and you just saw Harley sitting in a chair with, like, the hair colors, and Joker sitting in a chair like Father Knows Best, and all these little Joker and Harley Quinns running around, and that was Harley's dream sequence. But anyway, Harley tricks Batman, claiming that Joker's come up with a new plan, and she wants to leave Joker, and, you know, she's willing to help the GCPD for protection, and apparently Batman agrees to meet Harley at the Gotham City docks. Joker comes out of nowhere, and he's, you know, standing on a boat with a Tommy gun trying to shoot at Harley Quinn. Batman throws a batarang at Joker, and it turns out it is a robot. Meanwhile, Harley Quinn is behind Batman and takes a syringe and sticks Batman with it and knocks him out, and then she takes him to this giant building and is hanging Batman upside down, where she's going to drop him into a tank of piranhas, and she claims that if Batman is upside down, then before he dies, he'll, you know, see the piranhas smiling. Batman, of course, tells Harley Quinn that, you know, you kill me, it's not going to make a difference, the Joker doesn't love you, Joker only loves himself, and no matter what you do, you know, he'll never love you, and he saw you as hired help, you know, as soon as he met you. And Harley claims, that's not true, Joker told me secret things, and Batman says, oh, he told you about the alcoholic father, well, used to be the alcoholic mother, and that she took him to the ice show, and Harley said, no, it was the circus. And Harley has a nervous breakdown, and she's still going to kill Batman, and Batman is like, well, if the piranhas kill and eat me, all it's going to leave is cloth, nobody believed that you actually did it. So Harley calls Joker, Joker shows up to where Harley has held Batman, smacks the taste out of Harley's mouth, you know, off-panel or off-screen in the animated, you know, version. And Joker's just upset because Harley was going to kill Batman and get away with it before Joker could. And he throws Harley out of this window because, as I said, they're in this abandoned building. And Harley goes flying all the way down into a dumpster and she's bleeding out of her mouth. And Joker has said, you've forgotten what I've told you about comedy. People are always getting, you know, beaten because nobody gets the joke. You know, something to that effect. And also the fact that Harley explained the joke to Joker. He says, once you explain a joke, there is no joke. So Batman, of course, gets free from the piranha trap, and the two fight, and they end up leaving the building, and they end up fighting on a speeding train, and, you know, Batman calls Joker on his shit, saying that Harley came closer to killing Batman than Joker ever did. The two fight on a speeding train. As I said, they leave the building, they end up, you know, fighting on a top of a roof of a speeding train. And as they're fighting, Batman punches Joker, and somehow, and I'm no physicist, the train is going 60 miles per hour, but apparently Batman punches Joker, and Joker miraculously goes flying straight, curve-like, no, well, actually, it's straight, then it's like a curve, onto a nearby chimney and falls in, and that's pretty much it. And then the ending is Harley's been rescued after she fell from the building into the dumpster. And Harley's admitted that, you know, she's done with Joker, and she realizes he's a sick maniac, and she wants nothing more to do with him. And then all of a sudden, Orderly comes in, and, you know, it's in the shadows, but we can tell it's Joker. And he leaves a vase with a flower saying, "Get better soon." And, but it's meant, you know, it's sympathy. And Harley goes back to being Harley Quinn, and that's pretty much the end of both the graphic novel and the animated. And I'm just, you know, this is all unscripted on my, with, my thoughts on the animated and the graphic novel. But again, solid 5. It's, you can get the episode if you have an Amazon.com Prime account. All 4 seasons of Batman the Animated Series are available, and, you know, you can get Mad Love, or, you know, if you have the DVD set, it's not hard to get. The graphic novel, as I said, I'm waiting to get the deluxe version in March. But it's a great voice cast. You know, thankfully Mark Hamill and Arlene Sorkin and, you know, Kevin Conroy provide the voices, of course. So, you know, there is an animated motion comic that I saw for free on PlayStation. Voices are different. I don't remember the voice cast. Stay away from that black and white voice comic. Black and white motion comic. It just flat out sucks. So, take another quick break, and then I'll wrap things up with the Batman animated series that came out in 2005, Season 4, Episode 2 of a Kind. Do that wrap-up right after this.
Hey, Geekcast listeners. Do you ever listen to Punisher Body Count and think to yourself, this show would be awesome if it had less toilet humor and was not about the Punisher? If so, join me, Emily Williams, as I class up the Punisher guys on Dane and Jake Get Classy. We're like the Oprah Book Club of comics. You'll hear us discuss famous works like The Dark Knight Returns and The Crow, along with graphic novels no one else is talking about, like Blue Monday and Blankets. You can find us at DaneandJakeGetClassy.wordpress.com or on iTunes.
Okay, so now we have the Batman Season 4 episode 2 of a Kind. Now, I guess with Season 4, you know, with Season 3 they brought in Batgirl, and Season 4 they finally brought in Robin. They had brought in Joker, but it was a different Joker. He looked like an albino ape, and he was voiced by I think Kevin Michael Richardson, who didn't do such a bad job, but it's just not one of my favorite versions, per se, of, I mean, the Batman is okay to watch. I guess it would be an animated version of Batman 66 at the time until Brave and the Bold came around. I have all seasons of the Batman, so I can't really bitch about it. But this Harley Quinn episode, I have mixed feelings over. I have a love-hate relationship. Pretty much they Paul Dini came back as writer. They kind of redid Harley Quinn's origins. Here she's voiced by, I think, Haldine Walsh, I believe. It deals with Harley Quinn being more bubbly and more of a ditzy blonde. She does obtain a degree in psychology, her doctorate, for BS, her bachelor's in psychology, her master's in psychology, and her doctorate on an online program. And she uses it to be a pop psychologist on Gotham TV. And she takes, you know, I guess like a Dr. Phil type. And, you know, there's a Dr. Phil character that shows up in this episode later. But she treats it more like a daytime talk show. And she gives really bad advice. Really bad advice. And Bruce Wayne just happens to be a guest on this episode. And she humiliates Bruce Wayne, and the head of the network, you know, comes in and says, "I'm sorry, Mr. Wayne, that this woman humiliated you, and, you know, He turns to Harley and says, "You know, psychologist, you're a joke, and your show has been canceled." And right before Harley Quinzel was going to do her Valentine's Day special, the Joker turns out to be a fan of Dr. Harley Quinzel. He calls himself Mr. J when he calls into the show, because, you know, he states that pop psychology is his worst, you know, if Harley Quinn's training is anything as flimsy as best, and he says he loves Harley Quinn because she's more screwless than me. So he decides to go to Harley Quinn's apartment and introduce himself, and they go to, you know, Harley goes to Joker's hideout, and she wants to write a tell-all book about Joker. And Joker's about to sick his hyenas on Harley Quinn, and she just tells them to sit, and she wants to have a session with Joker. And, you know, Joker turns the tables, and Harley feels that, you know, she's just a joke, and, you know, she's pathetic and useless, and Joker turns us around and says, you know, we need a night on the town. And Joker and Dr. Quinzel, you know, agree that if they go out, Dr. Quinzel is going to have to wear a disguise, so, you know, she's not recognized hanging out with Joker. So, of course, you know, we get this montage, and she becomes Harley Quinn. They, of course, sing a song called "I Think Setting the Woods on Fire," which is a great song, and I played it in the opening for this podcast, sung by Howie Dean Walsh and, Kevin Michael Richardson. So, they have a montage, and one of the best parts about it is they're in the park, and they're feeding peanuts to squirrels, and they're falling down from Joker toxin. Or they throw coins in a fountain, and, you know, Joker throws in one, and, like, soap suds come out of nowhere. And there's also a point where Joker takes a grenade, puts it in a pie, and throws it at the face of Bruce Wayne in a billboard, because it's something that Joker announced he wanted to do to Bruce Wayne for a long time. Take a grenade, put it in a pie, and throw it at Bruce Wayne's face. So they go on this night of town. Batman, of course, tries to stop Joker. They happen to get away somehow because Joker and Harley are driving in a car, and, you know, they have ejector seats, and they go to the top of this, you know, building, and there's a elevator, like, on the outside of the building, and then Joker grabs Harley and jumps off the elevator, and he has, like, a penguin umbrella. They go back to Joker's hideout, and apparently after Harley Quinn's show was canceled, Dr. Phil takes over, or a Dr. Phil character takes over, and is going to have a special primetime episode of everything that was wrong with, you know, Dr. Harley Quinzel, because they found out that she's been associating herself with Joker. So the last 10 minutes deal with Harley Quinn devising a plan that she goes to the TV studio, and she's going to, you know, take her revenge out on everybody who, you know, belittled her, and she's going to kill the Dr. Phil character, and, you know, on what used to be her show, and they invade the show, of course, Joker and Harley has these grenades that are shaped like hearts, and they take over the show, but thankfully Robin, Batgirl, and, you know, Batman do show up, and there's a moment where Harley Quinn captures Batgirl, and she throws him to Joker and says, you know, take Batgirl outside, and Joker gas her, and Joker's like, you're giving me an order? No, I don't think so. I only strung you along because it amused me. And, you know, Harley Quinn quivers and goes, sorry, Mr. J. And then Joker turns to Harley and goes, oh, you little minx, I can never stay mad at you. Like, you know, it's kind of like cementing their relationship. And, you know, Harley starts to squee, and then Batman comes out of nowhere, and Joker, of course, throws Harley in front of Batman to get away. There's a bunch of explosions. Batman's able to save the studio from, you know, anybody getting hurt, and, you know, Harley Quinn is captured, and Joker, of course, gets away and goes, bye-bye, little Harley Quinn, it's been fun, and that's that. Harley Quinn gets captured, she's gonna get sent to Arkham. Batman tells, you know, Harley Quinn that Joker doesn't care about anybody but himself, and Harley Quinn goes, you know, you think with someone with a doctorate in psychology, I would have known that. And as she's about to go into the squad car to be taken to Arkham, she sits on a whoopee cushion and starts to laugh hysterically, knowing that Joker probably left it there for Harley, and Harley starts laughing uncontrollably, and you can hear Joker, you know, laughing somewhere off in the distance, and, you know, the camera kind of pans up to the moon, and we see Joker's face, you know, laughing, saying, you know, Dr. Harley Quinzel is gone. Now it's just Harley Quinn, and that's pretty much the episode. What did I think of this one? Let's see. 0 being the lowest, 5 being the highest for Two of a Kind. I have to admit, I give it a 3.5. I like the voice actors. I have nothing against Kevin Michael Richardson. He's no Mark Hamill. I mean, he's great, don't get me wrong. But, I don't know. Mark Hamill, to me, will always be Joker. And Arlene Sorkin will always be, you know, Harley Quinn. It's not a bad episode. The designs aren't that bad. The story is not that bad. I'm glad Paul Dini wrote the episode. But 3.5 is not that bad either. I mean, the line reads are okay. You know, it is what it is. It's an adequate episode, and if you don't mind watching The Batman, and it's a guilty pleasure for me, you know, go watch Two of a Kind. So, with that said, folks, thank you again. I hope that you've scored or, you know, made good on Valentine's Day. I'm alone as usual, but I do want to thank you. I guess the best Valentine's presents that I could get, receive, are your likes and your feedback, and please keep it up, and Season 2 will be chugging along with some more Hunnic goodness, with some Godzilla, with some more 80s, and of course Season 3 starting next year, we're going to be dedicating to the 80s with some bonus 21st century podcasts here and there, and Season 4 will be dedicated to the 90s, and 5 to the 70s, and with bonus 21st century podcasts here and there. You get the idea. What an experiment I'm working on. Because once I start to announce I'm going to be reviewing more 80s movies, a few of you have been, like, typing in all your requests for 80s movies. So, I'm going to experiment with next few seasons to be dedicated to a decade. And just like VH1, I love the 80s, the decades will be discussed in parts. So, Season 3 will be the 80s Part 1, and I'm sure, like, Season 8 will be the 80s Part 2. Because it just won't be movies. It'll be comics, it'll be video games, books, you get the idea. So, try to diversify it a little bit more. And, of course, please head over to GeekCastRadio.com. They have a donation drive going on right now. Please check out all their wonderful main feed shows and their syndicated shows. And, of course, I've discussed all the GeekCast Radio Network syndicated shows. Please check out each and all the non-GeekCast Radio shows that I've subscribed to. I've mentioned them in other podcasts. Disney Film Project, Torgos Pizzeria Podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, Anything Ghost, GeekCastRadio.com, Punisher Body Count, Turtle Flakes, Smeared Ink, My Podcast, Pull Bag, Legends of the Dark Knight. Please check them out all in one. And please check out Now Plane Podcast. February 17th, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Now Plane Podcast will have their first ever live episode. They'll be discussing the Kingsman Secret Service, followed by a Q&A session. And I believe there will be some fabulous prizes if you tune into that live podcast. Again, February 17th, 2015, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Now Playing Podcast, live discussion of the Kingsman followed by a Q&A session. And of course, if I understand this correctly, they're also working on a Kickstarter campaign for their book entitled 100 Underrated Movies. So please check out all these wonderful podcasts and shows. We really, really appreciate your feedback. And of course, for Hunnic Outcast, hunnicfeedback@gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, all social media, all one word, Hunnic Outcast. I'm also putting together a patron drive, patreon.com, Hunnic Outcast. You can check it out on the facebook.com page for all the details. I'm trying to raise some money for costs to get some DVDs and some more audio equipment for the show. So, other than that, happy Valentine's Day. Talk to you soon, and other than that, have a good one, Puddin'.
you want to intern here at Arkham.
I've always had a thing for extreme personalities. You can't deny there's an element of glamour to these super criminals.
I warn you right now, these are hardcore psychotics. Most would rather kill you than speak to you.
I'm sure I'll be fine, Doctor.
They'll eat you for breakfast. I mean it. One or two of them will enjoy it, too. Be careful.
Patient interview number one.
So, I'm your first, am I, Tops? You know what they say, you never forget your first time. I'll try to make it memorable for you.
Oh, you already have. Tell me, why do you do the things you do?
Why do you think I do it?
Fame, notoriety, a desire to stand out from the crowd, a wicked sense of humor.
You're good. How did you figure me out, Doc? I've had doctors poking around in here for years, and no one was as astute, and if you don't mind my saying, beautiful as you.
Really? You're just playing with me.
Well, you'll never know, will you? Unless...
Unless what? Tell me. Care to tell me how these got in my office?
Simple, really. I put them there. Why? You don't like flowers?
I think the guards would be interested to know you've been out of your cell.
Oh, if you really were going to tell, you already would have.
How do you know I haven't already?
Oh, sweet. I like you. I really do. Even your name. Rework it a bit and we get...
Harley Quinn, like the clown. I know. I've heard it before.
It's a name that puts a smile on my face. It makes me think there's someone here I can relate to. Someone who might like to hear my secrets.
Really? Go on.
Not here, my dear. Too many ears and eyes. Come back tonight. I'll be ready for you. He's crazy, you know.
Who? Batman?
No, Santa Claus. Of course, Batman. Always Batman. I've seen it in his eyes. Screaming mad stalkers. And dishonest. Hiding his face behind a fright mask. Well, no masks for me. I have nothing to hide. I laugh at the cruel absurdity of the world. But Batman, he's got them all fooled. He's made them think he can make a difference, that he can actually make things better. And the joke of it is, they all believe it.
The police?
The police, the media, the frickin' Junior Rangers. Every last sack of walking meat in this urban cesspool. Listen, sweets. Batman knows we're all on the same funhouse slide into madness. Why won't he admit it? He's up there in his belfry laughing at us. And the real gag is, the miserable liar is allowed to run free while I'm in here.
That's really incisive.
Then you understand, don't you? You know why I do what I have to do. You know Gotham's only real savior is me. Actually, I don't want to know. So are you ready to stop that evil, murdering bat once and for all?
Of course I am. He needs to pay for what he's done to you.
Give it here, then, quickly. Come on, Doc. We've got ourselves a bat to kill.